Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. We are so excited to have you here. Episode 95, yeah, y'all.
Crazy.
95. It's going to be a good day. ABB, how you doing today?
Good. If you are a video watcher, you notice I am in a different location. I'm actually at my desk at the warehouse, which is kind of fun. I told Robbie, kind of like the vibes, like I got my disc collection there. I got a little family picture, play button, a few little knickknacks, a little hawk action up there. So I don't know, feels at home. And I like, hey, if when we get to the what's new in the warehouse portion, I can literally just see the warehouse right now. And it's a good reminder. I see the drop shelf over there, see upcoming stuff. So I don't know. Let us know in the comments. Is this my permanent location now? Do we like this location better than going over to the studio with the guys?
I will say we don't. If you do that, there is a much lower chance of, oh, hey, by the way, they're filming this podcast or this guest is doing this or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's nice. I think the sound quality is much different at all. We just may hear Jason working in the background.
No, which I like the vibe, you know, there's always work to be done. Why not hear it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there is, speaking of work to be done, we want to go ahead and let you guys know a little announcement because we have talked about In the Bag discs for it's got to be at least since episode 56, yeah. Like probably before episode 56.
Right. So the day is finally here. If you're listening to this podcast, they are live on the site. I'll give you a little tease.
Ooh, tease.
Here we go.
Bang.
There's a little In the Bag C-Line FDs. Dismania. And I finally got to throw mine yesterday, my C-Line FD, off the shelf. Flip up to straight.
Come on.
Love it. So I'm trying to cycle those in my bag. So those are definitely make it. And then I don't have one here at the desk to show you, but we also have Origins with the same In the Bag stamp on them. And I threw that. That was a Heiser flip to turn. It was money.
Dude, I just shot my In the Bag and it's coming out next Thursday, and in the bag I was like, so I have this Origins In the Bag that's already seasoned and here's what it's doing, and I show it, like I throw it and it just do turns over, and I was like, and then I have this Meteor In the Bag as well that came home, but the thing about this Meteor is it could still be replaced by an In the Bag Origin, which at this point you guys should have had access to. Like I tried to make it, was filming stuff in the future and coordinating it with drops. Mm-hmm. Always an interesting time, but our hope is, like, truly that you guys are able to go get the disc you're looking for. And I hope that when people watch my In the Bag next Thursday, that they're just out of luck. Like, we've already sold all of the Origins and the FDs. So
yeah, great disc all around for even a more seasoned player or beginners. I think the C-Line FD is, I love it. It kind of got me into fairways. It's very, very easy to start form correcting and get some Heiser flip action happening, and same with the Origin. The Origin's a great complement to my uplink is that very easy Heiser flip complete turn. The Origin's like, you can throw it hard, it'll Heiser flip and go straight for me just off the shelf. So make sure you check those out. Also, they'll be, Hunter's working on them now. I don't know if the new In the Bag merch will be ready this week, but definitely next week. So get designs while they last, get you a coffee cup, and as always, thanks so much for the support. We couldn't do this without you. And once these sell out, let us know what you want to see next, what kind of stamps you want to see next, and what kind of discs you want us to run them on.
Yeah, I'm excited. We have another, like, when we get to what's new in the warehouse, we'll tease some other stuff. But I will tell you that we got Disc Mania, and we are on the Foundation Podcast Network. Mm-hmm. So you can make some guesses as to what the rest of that announcement is. And if we got Disc Mania, there are a couple people, you know, that might be touring And I'll tell you, it's crazy. They went with RPM. It was
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you never saw it coming, right?
Yeah.
We got some otters from Wild Disc. That's what we're what we're doing.
Maybe Brody Smith stamped otters. It was crazy, dude.
It's just an otter with Brody's head on it. So spoiler alert. Just kidding. But there'll be other we'll announce some of the other podcast drops at the end of the episode. So make sure you check it out. And if you're listening on Friday, make sure you go let's pause. Go check them out now while they're available and then come back. So speaking of that, I'm excited to get our guest in. I don't know much about it. I just saw his bag. I truthfully have not even looked at it. So I'm going to look at it when we bring him in and he might have been on my Instagram Live, Robbie. So he might have already seen me throw these discs.
Okay.
Which is a new experience for those of
you.
And
he's one of the ones who he messaged us over on. I'm going through Disc RPM and I'm finding people to come on. But there's also been a couple people that have messaged in the bag and me. And so creating like a little dual message between the two, that little group got brought up and we were able to get Clinton on. So why don't we go ahead and bring Clinton in?
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gents.
You know, it's Gen Z, lads and gens. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't get us there. So welcome into the podcast. Clinton, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Doing well. Hey, I want to shout out my favorite of all of the parcel services, UPS. Shout out to UPS.
Thanks, man.
You guys don't really lose our packages like USPS does. Shots fired. There we go.
Awesome. All right. Definitely got to take pride on it.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, UPS all the way. So glad to have you in. I'm excited. Clinton, there was a Clinton in the bag live this morning. Was that you or is that a different Clinton?
It was me, man. I streamed into it. And then when you were getting ready to talk about it, you were throwing for today, I'm like, I got to get out of here. Got to have a surprise of some kind.
I love that. Well, this is a new experience. Again, this is the second week I've done that, but it's really cool thinking that you were in that live and it's like, oh, okay, now we're going to recommend. So good on you for your integrity jumping out. But just for the future, if anybody is going to be on the episode and wants to join in, I don't think there's any harm seeing the discs fly at first. I like the surprise. I'd probably have done the same thing, Clinton, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But
I think it's cool because you really can't see a ton just based on like how the live and like the sun at that particular time. But you can at least get my initial feelings and reaction to it. So I'm excited because, again, I didn't see your bag beforehand. Now I see it. And another cool element, Robbie, is I was looking in Clinton's Disc RPM and the unbagged feature. And I actually have some questions for the unbagged discs as well as the main bag discs. So all kinds of new frontiers today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm going to be honest. I didn't even go check the unbagged world. So I am, quite curious. So with that being said, Clinton, we want our people to get to know you, not only as a wonderful UPS driver, but as a disc golfer as well. So for those of you who can't see, Clinton is wearing a UPS uniform and he is in his truck right now. So that's why we're making all the references. We're not just inferring like he's not got some like UPS shrine in his house or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. So Clinton, how long have you been playing disc golf?
So it's kind of weird. I started in 2013, played 14 and 15, and then life and work got busy. And then I picked it back up about 2 years ago and I've been heavy in it. And now it just pretty much took over my life outside of my family.
So I love it. I love it. Okay. So if we put you in a field, Clinton, then we were like, all right, we're going to put a basket X amount of feet away from you. How far do you feel like you're consistently reaching that basket on a backhand and a forehand?
So my backhand and forehand's kind of crazy. Backhand, right hand, and a forehand, left hand. It's terrible, I know. But so my backhand, I could probably confidently reach about 300, maybe 330. And then on a forehand, I'm probably looking at about 150 to 250, depending on whether it's a run up or standstill.
Okay. That is not bad at all. I kept telling people, I had a bunch of my patrons, the Birdie fam, were in town this past weekend. And we got to we did field games. And one of the field games is I put them 125 feet away from the basket. And I'm like, here is a little, it's 20 feet away from the basket. So 40 foot circle all the way across for diameter. And I'm like, you get points for landing in the circle and you get points for hitting metal, things like that. But you have to throw three backhands and three forehands. I don't want turnovers. I want just straight forehands. And I always get this like massive groan from people when I say like, oh, you've got to throw three forehands. So having a 250-foot forehand, Clinton, is really good, especially for an amateur player. Like, that is not to be underestimated. So let's talk putting, though. We put you on the putting green, and we're like, hey, you have to make 10 putts from 15 feet, 10 putts from 25 feet, and 10 putts from 40 feet. How many are you making in each station?
So I actually done it the other day. So from 15 feet, I'm making 8 to 9. And then 25 feet, if I make the first one or two, I'm feeling pretty confident. So I could probably hit 5. But if I miss my first several, 2 or 3. And then from 40 feet, maybe 1 if I'm lucky.
Clint and I love that caveat of like, if I hit that first one, I saw it go in and it's like, oh, baby, vapor trails are there.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang. But yeah, I mean, that's so fascinating. That makes me want to do like a little like challenge on, okay. Okay. You've got my head spinning. I love it. Clinton, what would you say is the biggest strength of your game?
So probably my approach game, because my tee shots can get a little wonky sometimes. So I rely heavy on my second shot. I always say it's all about the second shot. So that's probably where I shine at, is right there in my second shot.
Yeah. And try not to leave yourself those 25 footers. So that way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
too easy. Okay. I dig it. Well, let's talk. Let's look at your bag. You have, you've got a smaller bag. I mean, it's a standard size bag, I guess. You got 21 discs in there. What kind of bag are you using?
So it's a grip. It's a BX5. I actually won it in an Instagram giveaway. So that was pretty sweet.
Nice. Come on. Awesome.
I was pretty stoked about it. But yeah, that's what it is.
Okay. So let's talk with putting putters. You're putting with Hard Caches from Hooligan?
Yes. So I just discovered the company probably about a year ago, and I just love the name Hooligan. That's what my grandparents called me my whole life growing up. So I'm like, I got to bag all their discs, like no doubt, you know?
That's funny.
So I got online and I was looking, and before I was putting with the Hard Caches, I tried some Ricohs and some Lunas, and I don't know if it was just how they had a little bit of rounded dome to them, but I never could get behind them. And I like the flat top on the cash. So it's not helping my putting game any, but it makes me feel cool whenever I sink one of them. So.
And the cash is such a genius name for a putting putter.
It is. Yeah,
it's a great name.
Like, I mean, is there ever a moment, Clint, where you're like, you go to hit a putt and you're turning around and looking at your bros that you're playing with and you're like, cash money, and it drops in?
Every time. Yeah, every time. No doubt.
Yeah. That's great. I think if you are a disc golf manufacturer in ABB, I don't know how you feel about this. Like, more disc golf man, you see way more discs, I would say, than Clinton and I combined, just per nature of where you're sitting. But I think more companies, if you're making a new putter and you aren't opening yourself up for like puns and stuff like that, what do you do?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, as long as they're not too like corny, but I think, cash, I think is a great, great name for a putter.
Yeah,
like, absolutely.
As I think, someone who switched to Wizards, the amount of jokes that I can make about Wizards, incredible.
Yeah, I think we need a putter called like Buckets. I think that would be great. I like that
one. Would be.
Yeah.
It'd be smooth.
I was going to, I wonder, so you have the Banger, right? Like the Banger GT. I truly wonder if that's what they were like. They were thinking banging chains.
Yeah. I think so. I think.
If not, they missed a good opportunity.
Yeah. If not, they stumbled into it masterfully. We will take that. So let's talk throwing putters. You've got a K1 Berg. What are you using the Berg for, and especially kind of transition us from there to the Koi?
Okay, so with the Berg, it's the only disc that I have an ace with, so it has a special spot in my heart, so that's pretty exciting. Pretty much any approach shot that's within 150 feet, especially if it fades a little to the left, I know it's the perfect disc for it. I don't have to worry about going past the basket. It'll just flow right to it and set down.
Yeah.
And then with the koi, I don't throw it too much, only if a basket's on the side of a hill or close to water and I'm scared of a roll away. I'm never trying to run it. I'm just trying to lay up with it and hope I get close to the basket.
And I love in your notes in Disc RPM, like I didn't read the whole sentence. I just saw for laying up when I'm scared, which made me laugh, which is really
funny. That's it.
So how, again, I think you said a very key word with the Berg, which is my only qualm with the Berg. I think the Berg's fine. I think I get it. I get why people like it. I don't have any issues with the Berg itself. But you said Berg and float in the same sentence.
And yeah.
So I think this like Berg has no glide argument is like probably beat to death at this point. But I mean, just seeing people throw it, I think it's exactly what it's more like a soft landing, less of like there's no glide, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think the nature of the shape of the disc like almost inhibits its speed or its spin to make you kind of like make it be floaty in a touch shot. So, but are you getting like ground reaction from the Berg? Is that why you're like looking at the koi, or is there a reason you're like, man, I know the koi hits and sticks. So like, I know that part, but is the Berg really giving you that much ground play to make you go to something like a koi?
No, it's not. Really with the koi, if I'm probably within 50 or 60 feet and I'm like, I probably have a 0% chance of making it, I'm just going to try to get as close as I can with it. So that way I don't have to worry about it rolling away. And with the Berg, if I'm like in an open field or something like that, I'll throw it just because I have a little bit better control over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can pretty much place it wherever I want it to go.
Okay. That makes sense. I'm just always curious with, you know, the koi, because the common, I think people bag a koi because of that exact reason. Like, hey, I don't want to roll away. Right. And that's kind of the point. But right. I think it's also like maybe dictated by the type of courses you play and how much danger you have like around the baskets that you play. So do you have quite a bit of courses in your area that have like roll away potential?
Yeah, pretty much. So I can think of four right off the top of my head the baskets are sitting on a side of a hill or close to it. And mm-hmm. I went from a birdie look to a bogey pretty quick. So mm-hmm. I'm like, play it safe and take a par.
Robbie, maybe that's a game we can play for episode 100. We can have a game show portion, and then we just bring up random bags from Disc RPM and say, hey, guess what state this bag is from?
That would be cool.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think you can, there's a lot of indicators from that, or like, hey, what type of courses does this person play? So that might be fun. We'll throw that out there.
Yeah, I'm here for it. That is, So looking at the bag, you've got one of the Rebirth Envies and the Zones. Now I'm getting such mixed reviews from people because there are so many folks that bought these Rebirth Envies that they have landed in such a wide variety of throwing, like speed of arms, that I'm just having a hard grasp on like, what does this disc actually do? Because I feel like when you talk to people, it changes every time. So for you, Clinton, what does the Rebirth Envy do?
So I just had it probably 3 weeks. I got it because it was super cool. And every time I've thrown it, I know it should be a little bit more overstable, but it either goes straight or it slowly just goes right on me. And then I have a couple friends that are like bigger arms, you know, MA1 players that are actually really good at disc golf, and they've thrown it and it's just like a straight line for them. So it definitely isn't what the flight numbers say it is.
See, I'm in love with mine. Like it kicked my other ones out. And I think it's like the shot types I'm selecting, Robbie. Not that this disc, I can honestly say I haven't just like thrown this disc like straight as I can to see exactly what it does, if I'm being honest. But there's something about like how it feels in my hand that just makes me want to rip it as hard as I can on like hyzer. And it does like, I think I've said this on another episode. It does like, I feel like it stays in the air longer than another Envy. Like I feel like it has like this like nice glide, and it might be because it's not like super overstable. So that might be why, but there's just like, when I see a line that's like kind of open and I can dump in like a full power hyzer putter throw, I'm pulling that envy and just winging it as hard as I can. That's the line I want to throw with that disc. So maybe you're absolutely the same Putin. So maybe that's maybe that's accurate. Maybe there it's not super overstable because I obviously couldn't do that, right? And Robbie, you've seen me play enough. I don't have a huge arm, so I'm not, you know. So I think that's probably what it is. But there's something about the envy, and I don't know. Maybe it's the how it looks makes me feel like I have this like power to just like just destroy this disc. Do you feel that way, Clayton? I feel powerful when I have that envy.
I do feel like a man whenever I'm trying to throw it out there. It's just I'm not. It's a little bit different for me because I feel like it's a little bit more rounded than most of the discs that I throw because they have a flat top on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a huge fan of it, but every time I throw it, I'm like, man, I can really get behind this and rip it. So that's probably all I've ever done with it each time. Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Yeah. The I go to Steven Dial, one of my Birdie Fam guys, who it replaced some of his harps. And so that's where I'm like, like I don't. And he has a straight harp. It replaced his straight harp. So that makes sense in terms of like it's going to hold really straight, but then sometimes still going to have if you put enough hyzer on it, like it will finish on you. So looking at the zone, then I'm thinking about how you described your Berg 150 and in. It's going to go straight and it's going to have a little fade at the end. What's your zone doing as an alternative to that Berg?
So the zone, and we have quite a bit of holes that are probably like 220 to 200 feet. And I know that I can just punch it out and it'll come back left for me and just sit by the basket. But it's really just a utility disc that I use whenever I'm trying to scramble through the woods and flick a little forehand to get out of danger with it. I don't really pull it out of the bag too much to just stay on an open hole or an approach shot unless I'm sitting near the woods or something like that. And I got to get around the tree. I'll flex it a little bit.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. How do you, with your forehand, this will be maybe a little spoiler for the bag for the rest of it, but like how many discs, I see that the Yeet is forehand only. How many of your discs are you forehanding?
So, the zone, I'll forehand, of course. The Yeet, I really don't have any business throwing it. I just have it in there because I'm like, man, I'm going to try it to see if I got it in me today. Mm-hmm. And then the Curl, I'll forehand because it's a little bit more overstable than the Vibe. And I'm trying to think, of course, a Cap Wrap, I'll forehand. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes the Mad Cat, but it's typically just a backhand disc.
Okay.
I won't spoil the notes on the Captain's Raptor till we get there. It may be the best note that I've ever seen.
I completely agree. I almost just spoiled it right there. So good catch, Brad. Good catch, because it's a beaut.
So going up into your mid ranges. So I mean, obviously the Walker and the Zone are kind of close. When are you choosing your? What are you using the Walker for versus the Zone? Is Walker just going to be a longer zone for you, or is it like way more overstable than your Zone?
It's a bit more overstable. But I have it just for like a select few holes that we have a dog leg left pretty hard. Mm. And it's around like the dog leg starts at probably 150 feet, 180 feet. And I know I can just rip it as hard as I can flat. And it's going to finish strong to the left for me and get around that curve that I needed to hit. I don't really pull it out too much for like utility or anything like that.
It's just getting more distance in your zone, or is it like fading out harder, like later in the flight?
Yeah, it's just fading out later in the flight and a bit more distance too. Probably like, I say a bit more, but probably like 30 or 40 more feet is all.
Yeah. I wonder, is it almost like you kind of ramp up from, you go the Walker, the Cap Wrap has the same flight, but it's just longer. And then the Yeet has the same flight, just longer type vibe.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's sense. Exactly how it is.
Okay. Fascinating. And that really overstable slot is one that I'm always hesitant to give people, but I feel like when you get it, like even once again, when I was thinking about describing my in the bag, I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, I got to my Justice, which is what I have in the bag for the Walker slot. And I had to explain like this disc, one of my least used discs in the bag.
Yeah.
But there are just holes where you walk up And it's not even like, oh, it's just my local course where I see this, because I have a couple of courses that have a hole that the justice really shines on. I can imagine, like, as you travel more and things like that, it just feels like every other course has some hole that's going to ask you for some overstable, some very overstable flight in a disc. It's just the range of that is going to change for each course.
Yeah, like my Quake is in that spot, and like I'm thinking, like hole two at Tenbrook, Robbie. I love to, like, I punch it out really. It's like that shot that you have to hang really wide, but you need to get back to the ground really quick once it like hangs out wide. So like that, yeah, that's the Quake doesn't come out a ton, but I agree with you, Robbie. It's like a shot that I'm like, I cannot not have in my bag because I'm going to need it. It may be that second shot too. I mean, there's plenty of shots, like if I play New London or even like Falling Creek, Robbie, that I need that like second shot to be very, very like overstable. If I need to get out, hang it out around a tree and cut back in or whatever. So that makes a lot of sense. And then, I mean, it looks like the kind of the theme of your bag, and correct me if I'm wrong, Robbie, is like you have really, you're like, okay, things are like really overstable or they're neutral or like neutral-ish. Yeah. So that, and I think that's maybe the nature of your like, okay, I have a right hand backhand and a left hand forehand. So you, and there's like a few discs, it looks like, that are pretty flippy for you to just get left if you need, or I guess right if you needed to. Sorry, I'm thinking both directions. So tell me about your hexes, because that's when we start, the hexes, and you have a dune and like up, there starts to be this trend of things that are very neutral. So let's talk about like your hexes back to back.
So the Dot Hex, the Leaf and Lozado Hex, I got it when they first came out, and I've thrown it a ton. So it's definitely probably the straightest flying disc in my bag, as far as like I can just rip it and I don't have to worry about it going right or left. Mm-hmm. And then the Halloween Hex, it's new. I got it when they released it during the Halloween time and all through wintertime or nothing. I didn't really throw it. So it finishes a little bit more than what the Leaf and Lozado one does. So those are probably my favorite two discs in my bag also.
So what is the difference between your Leaf and Lozado, the straight hex, and your dune?
So the dune, I got it also around Christmas time. And whenever I have a hole that it finishes to the right slightly, I can just rip it flat, and I just know that it's slowly going to turn to the right for me and just set down.
Okay.
Whereas the hex is just, like I said, it'll straighten and barely have any finish on it at the end.
Yeah. This is going to be me being a bad friend to our boy Jesse.
I know what you're going to say.
But have you considered removing the dune for like a fission hex?
I haven't. I actually listened to an episode where y'all talk about the fission hex and how it is a little bit more understable. Yesterday I listened to it and I was like, man, I should try that just so I have a little bit more of it covered. But, of course I haven't yet. So,
yeah,
but I did hear you talk about it.
Yeah. And I would encourage you, if you do that, don't get another 175, 178 gram hex for your fission hex if you're looking for it to fight with that dune slot. And once again, you may not be looking for that. That's I think that so often people can come on the show and we're like, change this, and you're like, I just kind of like the dune. Go for it. Yeah. Like, keep doing that. I love the dune as well. I think that the dune and the hex fight for me so heavily because the hex goes so much farther than every other mid-range that I throw, but the dune has such sneaky glide that I feel like it also goes farther than most mid ranges. So like, I could throw 10 mids that are all in that same slot, and I know that the dune and the hex are going to be sitting right next to each other, and they're both going to be out in front of the entire rest of the army.
Yeah. And I kind of, the fission hex did kick the dune out for me personally because of that. And I went with a lighter weight fission hex. So really I can get some turn to it. And I think for me, it's a hand feel thing. I think I want the dune, and I feel like I talk about this all the time, but the dune is kind of like the uplink in a way where I don't feel like I can completely put a lot behind it. Like I can throw it at like 70% power and get it to do what I need it to do. And sometimes with the hex, I just want to rip it. Like I just want to hit it hard and not worry about it super turning. But I feel like with the Dune, if I hit it hard, especially if I messed up my release angle, it's really going to turn. And
yes,
I think it's just that. So yeah, I think maybe a Fission Hex might be an awesome compliment to your other two hexes. And sorry, Jesse, we love you. It's not personal. The Dune's a great disc. It's just, you already have two hexes. Why not go three?
Yeah,
like, absolutely.
I did not have two hexes in my bag. I just had the one, and I ended up pulling it out for a while in the case of the Dune because I was like, I'm not mold minimalized into these hexes. So you can flip it either way. And there is a world, right, that your Dune continues to beat in, because I don't think a hex is ever going to get anywhere close to what the flip does, at least based on the numbers. I've not personally thrown a flip. Mm-hmm. Is it as flippy as the numbers make it look?
It is pretty flippy. You can release it flat, and it's just slowly going to glide to the right for you. It's probably my favorite disc to throw, and there's quite a few holes that require it, and if you don't have a forehand, then that's what I'm reaching for every time to throw. As long as I don't try to rip it too hard, it's just going to turn to the right for me and float to the basket. It's awesome.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. So I could see a Dune getting closer to that than a Hex ever will.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So there's still room in the world for both. Let's move on up to, you've got the Oracle and the Passion in your bag. We're going to be talking about fairways for recommendations, but let's talk the Oracle and the Passion. What do those two discs do for you, and are they like very different?
I wouldn't say that they're very different. I feel like the Passion is a sneaky overstable. Every time I throw it, I think it's going to go a little bit straighter than what it does. But I really like the hand feel of it. So that's why I have it. And then the Oracle, I think it's a 7502. And whenever I rip it flat, I mean, you think it's going to turn over, but it just always fights and comes back for me each time. It's probably my favorite disc that I have in my bag to throw.
Okay. So. I'm here for it. It's, for those of you unfamiliar, not a 0-2, a 7.5-2.2.
Oh, so
that's, I'm guessing you're right. That's where you go much more to that. Like, you think it's going to get some major movement out of it, and that two fade may not come back. I'd be curious as well. So you have your Passions in the Jawbreaker Z plastic, which was a very limited run. I'm going to be shocked if, because I know Jawbreaker Z is what they're doing tour series in this year.
Mm-hmm.
Have they announced what the tour series discs are, Brad?
They've posted on social media. We, as wholesalers, haven't been able to order them yet. But yeah, it looks like they're all going to be Jawbreaker Z.
Yeah. If you want to ask another question, I'm going to look it up and see if I can find that post, because I'll be curious if Jawbreaker Z Passions made it, like, as someone's tour series disc.
Yeah, I feel like it was the Fierce.
Page.
Yeah, so
it was,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, it was pretty crazy. I probably only had that about 2 months, and I joined like a disc golf page on a disc craft page on Facebook, and some guys, they were wanting like some 2020 Almond Beth Lunas, I posted what I had in there. He actually traded for it. And then come to find out, like, that actual Passion that I have with the big P on it was like just a tournament series. Like, they only made like 100 or 150 of them. So it was pretty cool to have.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah. Come on.
Let me ask this before, or Robbie, go ahead. If you found any information about the tour series, I have a question about the fairways.
Oh no, I'm still looking. So you go ahead.
So, again, I love the unbagged feature. I'm starting to try to use it more on my disc RPM as well. I noticed you took one of my favorite discs of all time out of your bag, the C-Line FD. So what made you take that out of your bag? And what, you know, was it just like, you're like, the Passion, the Oracle do what I want better, or what made you remove it?
So I just got it, and I haven't thrown it a ton. And I felt like I had a lot of overlap between the Oracle and the Passion and the FD. So I really just didn't give it a fair chance to see what it could do, because I was just too familiar with the other two, I felt like.
Yeah, I think, and again, I think I've heard people give their thoughts on the science of this, but the additives making like different colors of the FD C-Line like more overstable or less overstable, I'm pretty sure the greenish yellow, and correct me comments if I'm wrong, is the most overstable of the colors in the FD. So, and I don't know really what your Mad Cat does for you. It just might be like a 7-speed version of your Mad Cat, because it does have some sneaky stability off the shelf. So you might just give it a chance. You might find that you like it a little bit more, and you might even be able to get a little more distance out of it. And what's cool is it takes them a minute to beat in, but once they beat in, they're like really, really great, like hyzer flip straight discs. So that might use, again, since you already have it, if you're ever doing field work or do a round where you're just kind of experimenting, that might be interesting. I don't think, based on how your Oracle flies and how I know a Passion flies, I don't think they may be close. But at first, especially that green one, might be a little more overstable. It might give you a nice little like extra choice if you're like, hey man, I really want to throw the Oracle, but I'm worried it's not going to fade enough, or you know what I mean? So it might be a good compliment that way. Okay. But I'm guessing like your Mad Cat, is that kind of what you throw your Mad Cat for? Is like, oh, I need a Passion shot, but I need it to fade a little bit more.
Yes. So I don't throw it a ton either. There's like just select holes that I would throw that on, mm-hmm. just because it's a little bit more overstable than what I probably need to throw. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely didn't think about, I remember you talking about before how some of the different colors of the FD are more overstable than the other. So mm-hmm. that might be, like you said, the perfect slot for it.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see. I'd be interested to see like distance wise, if you throw the FD farther than the Mad Cat, it just would be an interesting experiment. Robbie, you back with some information for us?
I am. Can I ask a question about the Mad Cat real fast? Specifically, yes. Did you dye that Mad Cat?
I did not dye it, but someone did dye it for me. Okay. So my friend and I, we play pretty much every day or at least 3 or 4 times a week together. Mm-hmm. And he throws a Phelan a ton, and he threw his Phelan, and he hit a tree like first tree of over or whatever. And I'm like, hey, why don't you throw this Mad Cat? Throws in aces with it. I'm like, on a 300-some-foot hole. I'm like, no way. So I posted it in a group or whatever, and I gave him the one that he aced with. And then I had like a couple of different people send me 3 or 4 different Mad Cats. And I'm like, that's pretty cool with the disc golf community. So I have that one, a Glow, and I gifted another one that I had to somebody also.
Yeah. It looks like a cookies and cream type vibe, and I am here for it. A little blue mix in there. Looks like a beautiful disc.
It's awesome.
Once again, one of my favorite featured disc RPM, that like it's so easy to upload that and get it going.
Yeah.
All right. Discraft Tour Series. The Paige Pierce is using the Passion. So did not go with the Fierce. The putters being used this year are the Kratos
figures,
and which was surprising that he went with it over the Luna, but it's all in Jawbreaker Z Flex. So I'm assuming like and then the Zone and the Zone OS. So
makes sense.
Should be an interesting one, but I'm very excited to get my hands on some Passions. It'd be a good one. So let's talk distance drivers. We'll talk distance drivers, and then we'll beep boop around. Clinton, we appreciate your time, man. Appreciate you chilling in the truck for
us. And before the drivers, Robbie, just we talked about the cap wrap already. The note he put on the cap wrap is for shenanigans only, which I love it. I love it.
Absolutely. I have no business having that disc in my bag, but it's just so cool. I can't not have it.
Hey, yeah. For shenanigans is always good. I mean, you know, that got me in trouble when we filmed the video with you, Robbie, where me and Jason tried your custom stamp discs. So shenanigans got me in trouble, but hey, hopefully it keeps you out of trouble. Sorry.
Hey, I mean, to me, that's the title of the episode. You know, we got our own disc for shenanigans only.
Yep.
That's it.
So you've got we'll just go ahead and get because the top half of the bag feels like there are 4 discs that I feel like compete for each. They're all like right next to each other. A lot of decision making. So we've already discussed the Yeet, what it does. So the other anomaly here is a DX Beast,
aka Flippy Boy.
Flippy Boy.
So the Beast, I had a tumbleweed by Lone Star before, and I lost it. And then we were just happened to be walking to like the next hole or something like that. And I find this DX beast laying off in the grass, and it looked like someone had been throwing frisbee with their dog or whatever. And I text the name on the back, and he's like, yeah, this dude don't have his phone anymore or whatever. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to throw it, because I know the DX plastic is beats him pretty well, and it's very flippy. Like, I can throw it on some hyzer, and it's still going to flip over and crash for me. So okay, it's pretty interesting.
So just a significantly longer flip?
Yes, that's the best way to describe it.
Okay, that's kind of sick. I love when I meet people that we have a lake here right next to one of the holes, and I will rake that lake. So I have this big old like rake with a bunch of like metal rods in it. And I remember I raked this lake, and I pulled two DX wraiths out of it, and neither of them had a name on it. And this guy came walking up playing the hole, and he was like, just looking at this pile of discs that I had pulled out. And he was like, dude, how much you want for those DX rates? I mean, you can just have them. He's like, no, dude, that's such a good disc. Can I give you like $5 a piece? I was like, sure. So this dude just hands me a 10, because I love that people bag DX Innova drivers. Such a fun thing. But let's talk the quad of trouble, is how I'm looking at it. Hopefully it's not so much trouble for you. You've got a Vibe, a Wave, a Curl, and a Thrasher, who at most separate from each other by a number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. So the Wave, I've had the longest. I actually found it on a course also, no number on it. So it's a Fission. I don't know the actual weight on it, but it's a, yeah, I can definitely feel a difference between it and the Vibe and Curl. So anyway, so I can rip it pretty hard, and I just know that it's going to fade to the right a little bit. It's going to hold whatever line I throw it on and just go pretty straight. The Vibe, I don't know the exact weight on it. It's not stamped on it, and I never did weigh it. But when I can throw it flat, it's just going to go dead straight. And that's like a 300-foot disc for me that I know I can probably hit every time with it. And I just love, it's the Alpha Flex plastic, and it's like the Lone Star version of the Bravo. Yeah. So it's really comfortable in the hand. And then the Curl, like you said, it's just a one number separation between it and the Vibe. And whenever I'm thrown into the wind, or if I'm thrown close to water, or I have to throw across water and I want to make sure it gets back to the left, I'll throw it, because it's a little bit more forgiving and I just know that it's going to come back left for me.
Okay.
And then with the Thrasher, I actually just got it a few weeks ago, and a 12 speed doesn't feel super comfortable in my hand, but like tipping my toes into the water to it. And whenever I release it flat, that's where I'm seeing like an extra 30 or 40 feet from my Vibe or my Curl as far as distance goes.
Okay.
And I actually just threw it yesterday on a hole. It's like 360 feet, pretty straight. And I landed about 18 feet from the basket. So that was probably the furthest that I've thrown a disc before. So that was pretty cool.
That's a mush, dude. Mm-hmm. Great shot.
Yeah.
I will say, as someone who, I remember when Hooligan, when they just had the Vibe and the Yeet, they sent me like prototypes of them to start, and I threw the Yeet and I was like, all right, cool. It's a destroyer clone. It's overstable. Absolutely. Here we go. And then I threw the Vibe and I was like, okay, this thing's kind of sick. It wants to be flippier than it actually is. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm, I could tell it wanted to give into it, but it just didn't, like, it had a little bit. So I see what you're saying on that, like, Curl and Vibe stability type vibe or type thing. I just got the chance a couple of weeks ago to throw, because Lone Star's moved, or Hooligan's moved their manufacturing away from Lone Star.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are going to reveal to the public their new manufacturer, sometime soon, but the new Vibes are, they fixed it. So the new Vibes actually do lean into that understable side. So definitely, I'll be curious, as someone who loves the current Vibe, if you get your hands on the new run of them, to see like does it push your wave out and now you're just proper vibes?
Man, I actually just went to the post office. I ordered two of their first runs and I have them here in my truck with me. I haven't thrown them yet or anything or whatever, but I'm pretty excited to see what they do as far as that. And they're pretty sick looking, so that's cool.
They're absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Brad, we had you throw a couple discs.
You did.
And I will say, Clinton, as someone who's throwing in the 300-foot range, for me, I'm always going to be like, and I asked Clinton off air, like, what would you say is a weakness in your bag? And you said throwing distance drivers can feel like a weakness. And so I had this internal battle of like, do I give him an easier to throw distance driver? But that top side seems like he's so close to it that I almost don't want to touch it. And I just want you to keep throwing those and season them in a little more and find a driver that works for you. So I didn't go that direction. I ended up going to fairway because I thought there's a real world that one of these fairway drivers is actually going to be, if we get him understable but not super flippy enough. Mm-hmm. That's also why I asked about the Oracle, because it was like, okay, I don't want to, if that's doing what I think it is, but it wasn't. It's a little more overstable. So I wanted to go a tick more understable to possibly unlock like a big distance window. And so I went with three discs that I recommended to Brad that are like such underrated discs in their lineup and go so stinking far.
Yeah. All right. So today I threw Vortex from DGA and I threw the F7 from Prodigy. So Vortex was in my bag at one point. F7 never was, but I've thrown both of these discs before, which doesn't happen all the time.
Come on. So that is cool. Let's talk, because the Vortex has it feels like one of the smallest rims for a fairway driver I've ever held.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So hand feel wise, bingo card players. Vortex has a small rim. F7 does too. Even compared to the FD, which is also a 7-speed, it does actually. This is a good part about being here. I have my disc rack or hyzer racks behind me. So I have an FD here. It does. Yeah. These are both 7-speeds and the rims definitely feel smaller than even the FD, which it is. Oh, I should have picked up this FD. What am I thinking?
I wasn't going to call you out for it. But I was like, this man spun around and we literally have an in the bag FD next to him.
Yeah. I'm still not used to it.
Wow, Brad.
It's taken 56 episodes to get here. Anyway. They do feel very small. They kind of approach that like, you know, how MVP, like the 6.5 speeds, you know, how they kind of feel like, they have a little bit of like a remnant. I'm going to call it a remnant feel. That's a very incorrect word, but just like it makes you feel like a mid-range when you first grab it and you're like, oh, wait, this is a driver. Just like kind of like that little rounded like nose to it, but it has a driver like, I guess, edge, if we'll call it an edge, whatever the technical term is. So I like that about it. What I will say, looking at your bag now, it makes a ton of sense why we're throwing these. I think that it's going to add a few things. One important thing you said was how much you love throwing your flip. So that makes me very confident we're in the right realm here. So I think we're going to give you like a longer flip. So that's hand feel wise. They both feel really good. This is an F7. This is like their 500 spectrum. There's not any flashing on it. It feels great. Vortex feels great too. It's, they both feel great in the hand. So hand feel is not an issue with either of these.
Okay.
Awesome.
So Brad, I want to kind of unleash you to air out the process of throwing them, but how about this for like a lens? Okay. When looking at it, we were looking for distance, but we wanted easy to throw under stable distance.
Mm-hmm.
So how did they live in that sort of struggle of too flippy, but still distance world?
Yeah. So what was, and that's exactly on the live, that's what I was talking about was, you know, my first throw it's not super cold, but it was colder this morning. I haven't thrown. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to throw like 50% power here and just see what they do. And Shea Stevens, shout out Shea Stevens, was in there in the chat talking about this after I threw, but both the Vortex and the F7, even at 50% power, I could hyzer flip them. And they both would turn a little bit even at 50% power, which was great. And they both went pretty far. I mean, even at 50% power, I was hitting like close to the 300 mark, just kind of smoothing them out. And Shea Stevens compared an underrated skill like with that, like the uplink, for example, something that's very flippy that causes you to throw like smooth 50% power is a very underrated skill, was his like sort of quote from that, which I agree. I think it lets you slow down, because for me, like, the difference between 50% power and like 85% power, I feel like I throw faster. And I know that's not correct, but I immediately, my brain's like, speed up your X step and your follow through, like speed all that up. So that 50% power, I'm like kind of just smoothing it, which is great. And I think it like, and you probably saw where I was throwing this field that we throw in up near the warehouse. For whatever reason, the last 9 months, a random van has just been parked in the middle of where we normally throw. So I was actually throwing left of it because I knew these discs were going to turn. So I had a gap between the wood line and this van, and I could not hit. So it actually gave me a lot of confidence, like, oh, I can throw it here. So I was hitting this gap every time. I didn't early release, I didn't late release, you know, anything like that. So I think slowing down and knowing, like, this disc is going to flip up and is going to turn for me. I don't have to make it. It's just going to do it. I think that's a valuable thing. As far as... distance, the thing I did notice as I was powering up on these a little bit, the Vortex is way less adverse to power compared to the F7. Some of it might be weight. This is a 173 Vortex and the F7 is 176. Not a ton of difference, but maybe enough, I don't know. And this is the Tora plastic in the DG and the Vortex, and then the 500 Spectrum in the F7. Again, variables there I'm not super familiar with as far as stability. But I will say that the F7, I keep almost saying Rip It because it has the Rip It frog design on it.
That's cool.
But the, even like a slower 50% power, the F7 would flip up and go straight and turn a little, like a little bit. And then it would just kind of fade back neutral. It would not like fade out past that neutral line, but it would kind of hook around at the very end of the flight as it was slowing down and just kind of sit down, which is awesome. When I threw it harder, it would flip up and just have that gradual turn, almost like an origin kind of does, like a flip up, and you can throw it harder. It'll flip up and just like have that, like it's almost like someone has a magnet on the right side of the fairway and it's just like kind of just gradually pulling it over there, which I really liked. Now the Vortex, it would flip up, but it would like have that aggressive, like turn angle, which I don't love. It made me feel like it was going to like burn out on me. It never did, but it had a very, it had like this like very aggressive flight kind of like that. Sorry, audio people, but I'll call it a V shape. Like it was just like a hyzer flip up and that other, the nose wanted to come down on the other side as I increased power. What it was, what the Vortex does that the F7 didn't for me was, and this is why I had the Vortex in my personal bag for a while. If I had a huge like left to right shot I needed to do and I didn't have like the forehand power to get there, I would throw a big nose up ante shot with like the Vortex and have that nice big carry. Whereas I feel like the F7, I could probably do that, but there'd be a little like less room for error. It probably, if I threw it through nose up or the angle was off, it would probably stall out and fade, I would say, on that particular line. But as far as distance, I did throw the F7 consistently further, like every time.
Okay.
Farther. I did throw it farther every time. I was trying to throw some like 80% power shots. Again, the Vortex was just kind of like getting too flippy. But the F7 would flip up, turn, and ride. And I did get the F7 out to like 340, 345, like that range a couple times. So...
okay.
I don't know. On the live stream at the end, someone asked me which one I was leaning toward. It was Wes. Shout out Wes. And I was really leaning toward the F7 at the end. Again, I feel like the Vortex is a great disc. If you were someone who was like, man, I'm throwing like 250 as my max or my consistent backhand distance, hands down, no question, Vortex is what I'd be sending to you. But I think with you having more skills, being able to throw the flip like you do, I think maybe the F7 is like that next level for you. I think that's what I would probably recommend, just because it has a few more shots I think you can throw with it. I think you can hyzer flip it really well and get that little bit of turn. You can throw it, you know, a little less power, and it's going to be like a straight disc for you, but also you can really get the turn out of it if you need to, if you throw some hammer it a little bit. I think there's like a lot more shot types, and sneaky shot that, again, shout out Wes, had me throw. He was like, hey, throw a forehands with both of them. And I was like, no way. And because I was afraid, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna hang these out over the road to do them. And both sneaky good forehand disc. Again, I don't get a ton of, my forehand's probably 250. So I don't get a ton of distance, and I don't get a ton of, I'm more like just, it's like I'm throwing a knuckleball with them. I don't get a ton of rotation. I just like crank the disc out there. So the both of them, and I throw a lot of hyzer on my forehand. So both of them kicked up flat, like instantly. Hyzer flipped, turned maybe a little bit, and then had fade. Both of them had fade. Again, I think I'm just not getting the spin. I'm getting the distance, not the spin. So might be sneaky good forehand disc for you to try as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm leaning toward the F7 personally.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that you talk about the weight. The other beautiful part about the Vortex is that depending on the arm speed, like they make a ton of lighter weight Vortexes. Mm-hmm. So if you are that slower arm and you're stuck even in the 200 foot range, I think a Vortex is a great distance driver choice for you. Cause you can find them in so many. Clinton, have you thrown the F7 before?
I haven't thrown it or the Vortex before. No.
Okay. Awesome. So if we got you an F7 in the mail, would you be willing to try it out and maybe come back on and let us know how it flies?
Oh, absolutely, man. I love that Spectrum 500 plastic, and that's a sweet stamp on it. So absolutely.
This one came straight off of my shelf from my personal collection because we didn't have them. I'm like, I got to throw this disc today. So this one is coming from my shelf, man, to you.
Come on.
Awesome. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Of course. Of course.
Well, dude, Clinton, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on, and we look forward to hopefully having you in our recap episode.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
All right. Have a good one, man. See you.
Another one.
Hey, that was a good... I love it, the guests coming on, having the notes in there. We get to, like, really know the personality of the discs and, like, their, like, game. I think that's where, you know... We could give our guests kudos. They've come a long way. They've improved as well over these 56 episodes where, you know, they're just like, the interviews are getting better and better. And I love seeing a variety. We haven't really had a lot of Lone Star hooligan like disc people on. So it's nice to give, hopefully you all get some insight on those type of discs, or if there's a slot you're looking for, it gives you some interesting discs to maybe give a try.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many manufacturers out there these days that, like, it's so rare for me to come across any type of new disc and be like, oh, this feels bad. Like I truly can't even think of the last time I even sent in the foundation tags message. I sent a manufacturer that I had just heard of, that has some choices made for, just the branding overall. And that's fine. Not a bad choice necessarily, just definitely some bold choices, I would say. But I've never felt their plastic, and I would imagine once again that I can't guess that it feels bad. So I'm not going to say who it is because maybe one day we'll have an opportunity to work for them. But, so it's just very interesting, through all of it. So Brad, we're here at the end of the episode, which means it's time. What's new in the warehouse?
Yeah, I was telling Robbie pre-recording, I'm like, how nice is it that I'm physically in the warehouse at my desk right now and I can see all the discs and I don't have to even just like try to remember. I think the biggest one we teased at the beginning, in the bag, here it's by my head, in the bag FDs, C-Line FDs, and Neo Origins will be hitting the site at 5 p.m. So if you listen to this episode and you're like, man, those are good, I got to get them in my bag, you better pause this episode and go grab them because they might go fast. I'm hoping they do.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So there's that. But also we're dropping other custom stamp podcast discs, the other podcasts on this, this network. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. First one's Grip Locked. So boom, there we go. The fresh new logo here.
Yes, sir.
So those are on Star Toros, Star Destroyers, and Champ Firebirds. So those are going to be electric. If you're an Innova person, these Star Toros feel great. And then we also have a other, maybe our smallest podcast, Tour Life. Those discs are dropping as well. So here's Jawbreaker Zone.
Those are going to sell so fast, y'all.
Yeah. Jawbreaker Zones, they also have Z Raptors and ESP Buzzes, crazy swirls on those ones as well. So those are dropping. Not a podcast. These dropped last week, but we still have a handful of them left. Our buddy Jesse over at Bear Bite.
Yes, sir. Jesse Coffee.
Mm-hmm. There you go, Jesse. Very sick stamp on these all white bottom stamp Hades.
Come on.
So those are pretty sick. So those are all dropping. So make sure you check them out. We also have a, we have our stock pixels in, which is great. I can see Jason, he's working hard on those right now to get those up. We also, the recycled plastic from Discraft, the new recycled plastic, we're going to have some of your basic molds of that up. So zones, buzzes, that sort of thing. There's several different molds. Very interesting. I've not thrown them yet. Maybe Jason and I need to throw them for Warehouse Guys throw to see what the flight difference is, but basically, you're going to get a swirly ESP plastic that's recycled, good for the planet, for like, I don't know, $15 or something like that. So,
dang.
Yeah. So they're going to be a hot item. So make sure you check them out. They feel pretty good. And there's some really lightweight for you lightweight folks, or maybe you have kids getting into it. I mean, there's a force over there that is like 150. So there's some a lot of variety in the weight. There's also going to be the rest of our Clash restock went up. So we have all the Clash now for you, you foodies out there. That's what I'm going to call Clash people is foodies.
Foodies.
So, you foodies out there. The Essence, the new Essence came out from Discmania on Thursday. It's in Lumen plastic. So the Lumen Essence, love the wordplay there. That came out if you're an Essence thrower. Also, we have accessories wise, our Performance Trucker hat is back in stock. So we got a couple colorways in that. Make sure you check it out. Again, if you were like, I love the dad hats. Maybe they're not my vibe. I'm more of a trucker hat guy. Hey, we got you covered. It's a Performance Trucker hat. So deals with the sweat really well. And, you know, we're excited about that. Robbie, can I tease your disc? I know it doesn't come out Friday, but it does come out Tuesday.
Yeah, let's do it, dude.
So
small selection.
Boom. So this is Robbie's blend he's been working on with the boys over at Gateway Wizard Gang. There you go. You see it on his shirt. That's Dennis. Meet Dennis. But yeah, these wizards, very limited quantity. These actually released in the players pack for his birdie frame reunion, but those are not coming out Friday. They are coming out Tuesday with his in the bag video. So make sure you check that out and, pick a few of those up. We only have a very few of them. If y'all love them and gobble them up, then we'll probably order some more for you. So we'll see how that goes, but yeah, that's on Tuesday. And other than that, I mean, we got a lot of stuff cooking. I mean, I'm seeing tables and tables and tables and thousands of Discraft discs that are, we're getting a fresh restock on those and a bunch of different plastics. I see new Thought Spaces in. We actually have some Terminal Velocity Ursus that are coming up either at the beginning of next week. We actually have an MVP restock that came in yesterday. We're getting those up for next week. So a lot of exciting stuff, a lot of limited quantity. So make sure you're checking out the podcast discs this week, our Bear Bite Hades. And make sure whatever you do, you go and you figure out what you like in your field work. And if it's good, you just
keep it in the bag.
We'll see y'all next week.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track. We care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night, no matter how chaotic your day is. Conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff, like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.